Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you, a special trade deadline edition of Preds Insiders. After the Predators split the two games over the weekend, they get shut out at home on Saturday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then they win in the shootout for what seems like the 12th time this season against the Dallas Stars. So a big win last night for the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars, all preceding today's NHL trade deadline, which was more of a deadline for the Nashville Predators than it was, you know, an actually active trade deadline. The only move they make, Eric Gabranson coming from the Ottawa Senators for a seventh round pick in 2023, and Brandon Fortunato, a lower tier prospect within the Preds organization. So not a big trade, and they make no trades of their current players. And that is what's garnering a lot of the attention here for the Nashville Predators this evening and all afternoon long. And I'm now joined by Chase McCabe, co-host of Darren Donick and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, also does a lot of work on the Predators Radio Network. Chase, how are we doing this evening? Do we have Chase McCabe? I don't think so. So we will have Chase McCabe on here momentarily here on the program. Look, today was not a surprise, at least in my mind, was not a surprise that the Preds went this direction without making any sort of major moves. I mean, we don't know what kind of offers that David Poile could have gotten for Mikael Granlund or Matthias Ekholm or Erik Haula. But if you heard David Poile at 4:30 today, and we'll hear some of his comments here coming up in the not too distant future here on the show, it didn't feel like here within the last week or so that David Poile really had any intention on selling at the trade deadline. And that was certainly a very curious decision on the part of the Nashville Predators and David Poile. When you look at the fact that there is no guarantee that this team is going to make the playoffs. You look at sportsclubstats.com, you can look at all sorts of different sites when it comes to playoff odds. Sportsclubstats.com is one that I've used for years, and they actually give Dallas a better chance of making the playoffs right now than they do the Nashville Predators. The Nashville Predators, according to sportsclubstats.com, having a 37% chance of making the playoffs. Dallas is just a tick above 40%. And when you factor that in, along with a lot of other reasons, to me, I don't feel like just standing pat and holding on to Mikael Granlund and Erik Haula and potentially some others was the right thing to do at this trade deadline. Now, I may be wrong, but when you look at other trade deadlines in recent years, they've given up a ton of assets. You look at 2015, you look at 2017, you look at 2018, you look at 2019. All four of those years, David Poile gave up assets to go for it. And essentially, by not trading Mikael Granlund, by not trading Erik Haula, he's essentially going for it with this team to at least make the playoffs. Who knows what they could do when they get there. But he's essentially going for it again by not recouping some of the assets that he would have given up in previous years at the trade deadline. And I think that is a dangerous, dangerous approach when you think of this Nashville Predators franchise and the fact that the cupboard has been bare for many years when it comes to the prospect system. And look, again, we don't know the offers. We don't know whether or not David Poyle got an offer for Mykal Granlund that was better than a third round pick. But you have to think that he did when you look at some of the other trades that were similar to that one, or that one could have been, when Toronto gives up a first and a fourth and more for Nick Foligno, or when the Islanders give up a first and a fourth and more for Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. I have to think that when the phone was ringing for Mykal Granlund with Preds GM David Poyle, I have to think that he was getting offers better than just a third round pick or something that would not have been beneficial for this team for the long term instead of the short term. And again, this team has no guarantee of making the playoffs, so you could just be keeping Mykal Granlund and Erik Haula for the next 13 games instead of trading them for draft picks that could help years down the road. That's my thoughts. Let's get Chase McCabe's thoughts. Chase McCabe has now joined the program here at Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, how are we doing this evening?
I am good. I'm sorry about that, Ryan. Literally just had one of those. I heard you welcome everybody into the show and then everything died out. So I don't,
you gotta love technology, right?
Yeah. But you know what? Always have a plan B. That is my motto. And so using my cell phone as a hotspot, I am back.
All right. Well, I just went through, Chase, kind of my thoughts on this and the fact that, look, I understand the fan base is pretty well split on this. We ran a poll question this morning of whether or not you want to sell, whether you want to stand pat, whether you want to buy. And it was pretty even between sell and stand pat. Very few people wanted to go out and buy at the trade deadline, which is essentially what David Poyle did by going out and getting Erik Gudbranson. I'm on the side that it probably would have been better for the long-term future of the Nashville Predators to sell or have a soft sell before 2 p.m. today, which is obviously not what they did. What was your thought going into today, and what was your reaction to what happened or didn't happen today?
Well, I've said for the past week and a half, and this was strictly based on how the team was playing, that I didn't think David Poyle was really going to make a move. And he ended up making a minor trade to add some depth, but I didn't think he was going to part with Mykal Granlund unless he just absolutely got blown away. And I sure as heck didn't think he was going to trade Matthias Ekholm. The way the team played changed his mind, and he's been very consistent. You know, I am one of the few people that have the opportunity to talk to David Poyle every week when he joins our show, Darren Donick and Chase, at 11:15 on Tuesdays. And he was very consistent in saying that, especially when they went on that 8-game road trip, he wanted to see what it looked like on the other side. Well, we saw a change with that team. We saw a change in mindset. We saw a buy-in to what John Hines was selling to his players. And the most amazing thing of all is we saw injuries to key players, young rookies coming in and elevating the play of this team. Now, granted, a lot of that started against the Detroit Red Wings and the Columbus Blue Jackets and, you know, the weaker teams within the division. But I believe that getting wins in general can help confidence. And so this team got confidence. And I think that David looked at that, and I flat out asked him, I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but I said, are you starting to feel that, is this starting to feel similar to 2017? Because as we all remember, they weren't very good at times, and they were the last team to get into the playoffs. And then we know what happened, and comparisons are dangerous, but they happen. And so I do wonder if some of that started to happen within the offices of the Nashville Predators of, hey, you know, there could be something brewing here, something special here with this team. So with all that said, I wasn't surprised by today's result. Now, do I have a worry about the gamble? Sure. But that's why it's called a gamble. And I think that you listen to the comments of Ryan Johansson last night telling Robbie Stanley, we're vibing. You listen to the comments of Ryan Ellis when he came back and how there was such a different change in mindset from when he got hurt. I think that sold David Poyle on, you know what? I could totally be wrong here. And who knows what the result will be if he is wrong, but he's gonna stick with what he has. He's going to listen to his team, which has burnt him before, but he's going to go with it and see what happens. And I think what's happening right now is they're probably going to make the playoffs if they keep playing this way. And you get some guys back like Tolvanen, like Forsberg, and then maybe get something out of Duchesne. But if you turn around and you say, all right, I can get a first and a prospect for Mikael Granlund, which helps this team for the future. That's great. But you're telling this team that is here today working for you, thank you, but we're done. And that may not necessarily be the case, because of what we've seen with these young guys, but that's the message that they're going to hear. And that could change the play. You know what I mean?
I hear you, and I understand the sentiment that if David Poile went to John Hines this afternoon and said, hey, look, I got an offer for Mikael Granlund that I just could not refuse. I understand that not only would John Hines have been disappointed, but that entire locker room would have been disappointed. But you brought it up. David Poile listened to the locker room in the 2018 offseason when they said, we want to run it back. We want to give this another shot after they lost in game 7 of round 2 to Winnipeg, winning the President's Trophy. And that completely backfired because ever since that point, this team has not been the same. And at some point, you can't just always be looking in the short term. And I feel like that has always been the case here in the last 6 years for this Nashville Predators team, where it's short-term, 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 short-term. And we have seen it with multiple teams around the league. Look at the San Jose Sharks, who went short-term, short-term, short-term for way too long. And now they're about to fade into oblivion because they gave up way too many assets for way too long. And now they don't really have a future, especially because they have some bad contracts on their salary cap that they may not be able to get out of. Just see Erik Karlsson. I understand that this team is 1-12 of 15, and I'm not taking anything away from that. I wanted to see this team recoup some assets that they gave up here in the last few years and also still make a run at the playoffs. And that may be too simplistic. Maybe that's beggars trying to be choosers as well, but look, there's still no guarantee that this team is going to make the playoffs. That's my thing. Sure, there's no guarantee that they would get bounced in the first round by Tampa or Carolina as much as everybody's talking about. But if they only have 13 games left in the season and they don't make the playoffs, this is going to look horrible for David Poile. The fact that he would have held on to these assets and gotten nothing in return, especially if Granlund walks away for nothing.
And he's going to be the one that has to answer for that. And he knows that, you hear the phrase all the time, you know what you're signing up for. He knew today when he didn't get anything for some of these assets, he knew the bet he was making. He knew the risks that he was taking, and he knows that. And I'm sure that, there have been conversations behind the scenes on all of this. He knows, but you're in a management position. Every day you have to make decisions that not everybody is going to agree with or even understand, but you do. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, but you're in that position where you got to do it and you got to be sure about it, or at least put off the perception that you are sure about it. And that's what he did. So we don't have to sit here and agree with him. I heard you say right as I came on, you don't know the offers. None of us know the offers. If it leaks out that he was getting offered a first and a third for Granlund, or a first and a really good prospect, and he didn't take it, then yeah, I'll question it. I'll go, why? Okay.
We don't know the offers, but we can make some guesstimates off of what some of the other offers were for, say, a Nick Foligno or Kyle Palmieri, which from a production standpoint are pretty similar to Mikael Granlund.
Sure. But this is, you know, like I said, because we spent 4 hours basically talking about it today. And finally, you know, it was, okay, so what do you think is going to happen? And I go, well, what I think is going to happen is he's not going to do anything. Now, I've kind of been with Darren on what, you know, his whole spiel has been whatever the plan was, it shouldn't change. I think it changed. Because I think
100% agree with that. I absolutely think it changed. And it's because of what you brought up earlier in the segment when you first jumped on, of what David Poyle said before that road trip that changed the entire season. And he even brought up that road trip today in his press conference.
Yeah. So I think it did change. And I will never envy a general manager in any sport, especially of one for a team that, you know, was right on the fringe, that it could tip one way or the other with 13 games left. It's certainly a tough decision to make, but this is what we've been building up to for, you know, basically the whole season. And the fact that it changed, and, you know, you never know. Again, that's the gamble. You know, we both like gambling. We host the gambling.
Yes, we do.
Friday night, 6 o'clock, the money line. But that's what this is right now. And he's sitting at the table. He's gone all in with this team. He could lose it all. Or, you know what? It could turn into something. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, we're talking about David Poyle here. And David Poyle met with the media just under 2 hours ago. And I do want to get our reaction to some of the things he said, including his overriding confidence in this team. That's all coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, a special trade deadline edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, rolling right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you on this Monday evening. Preds Insiders, brought to you every Monday by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. I actually paid a visit to Kelly E. Rice last week, and it was a great visit, like it is every single time and like it has been for the last 18, 19 years, however long it's been. So visit KellyERice.com for all your dental or sleep apnea needs. We're talking all things trade deadline here on the program, as the 2 p.m. trade deadline came and went without much action. The Predators did acquire Eric Goodbranson, a veteran defenseman from the Ottawa Senators, in exchange for a 7th-round pick and a low-level prospect. I don't know what kind of impact Goodbranson's really going to make. I don't think Goodbranson is really all that good, especially when you look at all the reaction coming from Ottawa or from Pittsburgh or from Vancouver, his previous destination. So I'll be interested to see what his role will be on this roster. But we brought this up last segment about the fact that there's been this overriding positivity, this overriding confidence from David Poyle stemming from the press conference this afternoon. And I felt like there was something that was really symbolic of that confidence. And it was David Poyle's reaction to a question from Joe Rexroad. So here's the question from Joe Rexroad and David Poyle's response from earlier this afternoon.
In my heart, I was I was not open to it because of how I believed in this team and wanted to give them a chance. But as a manager, I was taking calls and I was listening, because I think that's free. And, you know, why wouldn't I? But I had pretty well made up my mind a little while ago, based on how things were going, that it would have to be something that would be really different than anything that I had heard of or had been brought up to me that would make me want to change where we are right now.
That was David Poyle earlier today. Joe Rexroad asking him what would have changed in David Poyle's mindset to sell or not sell, and if he had gone into today thinking that he was going to sell it all. And David Poyle there expressing that he really didn't have it in his mind or his heart that he was going to sell going into today. And Chase, that was something that really stood out to me, that it came across as the glass being not just half full, but almost 100% full on this Predators team and the way they've been playing, and the team that David Poyle has watched here in the last 15 games, the fact that they've won 12 of those games. I felt like David Poyle, bestowed a lot more confidence in that, not only that clip, but that entire press conference than the entire fan base or most of this fan base has right now in this club.
Yeah. But isn't that what you want from your leader? I mean,
100%. I just wonder if it was too much confidence, and the fact that it came across is that he made the decision to not sell, like, with his heart, like he was managing with his heart and not willing to accept what could be reality with this team.
And that's hard to do sometimes, especially when you're at, you know, in his position and at his stage in his career. You know, something that doesn't, you know, we don't talk about a lot, but I mean, David Poile is, he's closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning. And I think that that's recognized. You know, he's been doing this a long time, and there's one thing missing off the list for David Poile, and that is winning the cup. And so, you know, you said earlier that it's been, you know, trying to hang on to this group and do these little things to, you know, not do the whole rebuild, retool thing. Well, I think that you have to look at it from his eyes and walk in his shoes, and that, you know, if it feels right and you're this close and they've been this close, then, you know, this is the Hail Mary, but take one more shot at it. And this is truly it. This is truly the last shot. And I know that, you know, your brain is saying, listen, the way they played has been great. These young guys really give you a lot of hope for the future that they're going to be able to do things. But you got to get through Tampa, or you got to get through Carolina, or maybe Florida. I mean, that's asking a whole lot. But if he truly believes, and that's his message, and you're the team and you hear that, then that's truly, at the end of the day, whether we all agree with it or not, whether the fans all agree with it or not, that's really all that matters. Because if the team believes it, then that's the most dangerous thing that you can possibly have.
Well, confidence is the most dangerous thing, or perhaps the best thing that a team can have this time of year, this close to the playoffs. Confidence is a powerful thing. If you have it, it can do wonders for you. If you don't have it, it can work the complete opposite for you. I mean, that 2019 team that won the Central Division and rallied in the last couple of weeks to come back and win that division after the second half of the year was very topsy-turvy. I didn't feel like that team was very confident going into the playoffs, and they got just completely blasted by the Dallas Stars in that first round series. They were completely outmanned. But you think 2 years prior to that, all it took was one or two games in Chicago to start that series in the first round, and they became a very confident team. And that confidence, they rode that confidence all the way until June. So the confidence is certainly there with this team right now. The fact that they won 12 of the last 15, I'm very curious to see what these next handful of games will look like.
As we're vibing, Robbie. Tampa
and we vibing. And the words of Ryan Johansson last night after the game, after they beat the Dallas Stars last night. I'm very curious to see what these next three games look like. Home Tampa, two games at Carolina. These are three games that I wish we could have seen last week going into the trade deadline instead of coming out of the trade deadline.
Yeah. Well, if they play, and I know the score doesn't tell you anything, and all fans care about is wins and losses, and I get that. But if you look at Saturday night's game against Tampa, that Predators team played well. They just ran into a freaking good goaltender. I mean, absolutely amazing.
Well, and that good goaltender could be on the other side of the ice from you in the first round, and it may not matter how well you play against them.
Right. And that's, again, that's a part of the gamble. But if you get that kind of effort night in and night out, which is, you know, pretty much what you've seen, they haven't been perfect. They've had, you know, some lulls, but not like we've seen in the past. And when they do get down, you know, we've seen this team crumble so many times after something goes wrong. That hadn't been the case. I mean, you know, the Ryan Ellis, again, I'm using a loss, but the Ryan Ellis goal that got disallowed the other night because of the offsides. We've seen them crumble at times because of that. That didn't happen That didn't happen then. And there's been a few other examples where they have just taken that and gone, all right, well, here's another thing we gotta fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who has watched this Predators team this season would agree that there is 10 times more fight back in this team than there ever was last season, or even for stretches of the 2019 season when they still won the division, that season that I referenced earlier. I mean, they do not back down. And I do think you have to give John Hines credit for instilling that mentality within this team, because that was something that he has been talking about ad nauseum ever since he took the job in January of 2020, that he had to change the mentality of this team, that the confidence level between the years, all of the above. And that has certainly taken a 180 for the better in the last, really, this entire season, even though they weren't winning games in the first half of the year. But that can only get you so far sometimes. And sure, I feel like they are banking on a couple of things to happen given this approach today. And I want to get to those two things on the other side. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to the Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Preds Insiders rolls right along here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you, recapping the action from the trade deadline, or the lack thereof, for the Nashville Predators. David Poile largely standing pat today, only acquiring Eric Branson from the Ottawa Senators for a 7th-round pick in 2023 and a low-level prospect. So essentially rolling the dice that this team, injuries or not, is going to make it to the playoffs. And I think that now has to be the clear expectation for this fan base, that this team will make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, I think there's going to be a lot of criticism from the fan base that David Poile didn't do anything at today's trade deadline. So Chase, I have a couple of thoughts here on what this Nashville Predators team is banking on with the fact that they did not make a move before the deadline today, and essentially saying, we're going to go for it and going for a playoff spot and just see what that lottery ticket might provide in the playoffs.
Okay.
The number one thing that I feel like this team is banking on is that the injured players are going to be better when they return to the lineup, and that this team gets even better than they are now. And if that happens, you probably end up making the playoffs. You likely end up making the playoffs if that's the case. And I think, look, Philip Forsberg, there wasn't an issue with how he played pre-injury. Ellie Tolvanen, certainly no issue there. I think all eyes on that front are on number 95, Matt Duchene.
I would agree with that.
And to an extent, they just got Ryan Ellis back in the last couple of games. Ryan Ellis, too. I mean, Ryan Ellis, his play in the last few years has been pretty up and down. He had a good year last year. I didn't feel like he had all that great of a year this year before his injury. And he's another player that I think a lot of fans will be keeping a close eye on as he has now returned from injury. So I think they're banking on that. The two games
since he's been back, he's looked pretty good.
I mean, he
– it's only two games.
he got a goal called back on Saturday against Tampa, and then he made up for it last night with a goal of his own against the Dallas Stars. So – that's number one, that the injured players are going to be better when they return, and that this team is going to get better when those players return. The number two thing that I think that David Poile is banking on is that UC Saros can have a Pekka Rinne 2017-like run in him, because UC Saros has been incredible in the last month ever since he returned from injury, and the longer that UC Saros plays this well, the more you think that he might be able to do this in the playoffs. And I feel like they're banking on the fact that he could do that in this postseason against either a Tampa Bay or a Carolina.
Okay, so, all right, you confused me there, because I thought you were going with that they would have to turn to Pekka Rinne, and I'm like, I don't think that's what they're banking on at all.
No, not at all.
No, I think the juice is loose. I think he has taken the reins of this team, and it's his now, and everybody's accepted their role. You got the you know you got Pekka if you need him. You know he's ready. He's there. But I don't think you're going to need him. I think that UC, you use that confidence word. I think UC is playing with that confidence.
No
like
doubt.
We've never seen before.
Well, I'm not saying that they have to even think about Pekka-Rinne. I'm saying that David Poile is banking on UC Saros in this postseason, if they get there, playing almost like what Pekka-Rinne did 4 years ago in 2017 in the playoffs.
I got you.
That's what I'm saying. I think they are banking on that, because if they didn't feel like UC Saros could do that, they have no shot at all against either a Tampa Bay or a Carolina if UC Saros plays the way he did it, plays the way that he did against Arizona in the bubble last year.
Yeah. No, I mean there's no chance at all. But I feel like that this team overall is playing better around him too. So I mean it's just everything is clicking on all cylinders.
Well, I've always thought that UC Saros is a product of the team in front of him, and yes, they are playing much better in front of him. But he's also stealing a lot of points here. I mean, UC Saros has been phenomenal in the last week.
That game against Chicago, a 3-0 shutout. I mean, that was him. That was
totally.
All him. Prez didn't play well in that game, and UC was like, "Nah, guys, I got this."
There has been a handful of games in this 15 game stretch where UC Saros is the only reason why they got a point or two, and for them to make a run in the playoffs, I almost feel like he has to be almost better than what Pekka-Rinne was in 2017. And I say that because Pekka-Rinne in 2017 was backstopping a team that had high expectations going into the year. They were a sexy pick for the Stanley Cup. We all knew they were a lot more talented than what the results showed for most of that 2016-17 season, right? So when you looked at the 17 Preds on paper against the Hawks or against some of the other better teams in the league that year, I didn't feel like they were that far off. And you look back on that team now and they were pretty stinking loaded. I almost feel like UC Saros would have to pull what Yaroslav Halak pulled in 2010, which was elevating a team well beyond what their capability was. And I bring that up because Yaroslav Halak, on the eighth seed of Montreal Canadiens, took on the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals in 2010. And Yaroslav Halak, in games 5, 6, and 7 against the Caps, trailing 3-1 in the series, completely stole that series for the Montreal Canadiens. And then he did pretty much the same thing in the next round against Pittsburgh on a team where their leading scorer throughout the year was Thomas Plekanec. And their leading goal scorer in the playoffs was Mike Camilleri. Like, that team was not that good, and Yaroslav Halak was the only reason why they made a run. And I almost feel like Saros would have to elevate the Preds to that level for them to have a shot against Tampa Bay and or Carolina.
I think that it's fair to say that. I mean, but, you know, if you get – going back to your first point, if you get some of these injured guys back – and they play the way they should play. Like Duchesne comes in and he's not the same Duchesne that, you know, we've basically seen in a Predators uniform. He's Ottawa and Colorado Duchesne or Columbus Duchesne. You get just a semblance of that guy. You get Forsberg playing, you know, at a higher level, but scoring goals, Tolvanen. Then, you know, maybe the matchup, and I'm not saying this as an opinion. I'm asking this, you know, rhetorical question, I guess. But then maybe the matchup becomes a little bit closer if all those things come into place. And it's a big if all of that falls into place.
It is a big if. We have Rick on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asking this question, Chase. And I'm going to let you handle this one.
Okay.
Besides the goalie, what about Tampa Bay is better than the Preds? Because I watched the game, and the Preds had just as good players as Tampa Bay, even without Forsberg, Duchesne, Saros not playing. Chase, your thoughts on that comment from Rick on the text line.
Well, Rick, here's the deal. they have this guy named Steven Stamkos, so we'll start there. He's pretty good. They have a lineup that I think teams would dream about of just top to bottom, they can hurt you. And it's not just Hedman, you know, on defense. It's not just Stamkos. It's not just Braden Point. You know, I can remember, I still hear Jared Stillman going, ah, Braden Point. Like, he had such a man crush on Braden Point. But Yanni Gourde, Yanni Gourde's who I've kind of, like, been drawn to because he's just one of those guys that you wouldn't expect to really be anything. He's got 29 points on the year. Alex Killorn, Sergachev, Sorelli. I mean, they have all these guys that are contributing night in and night out. And, you know, if one of the top guys is just having an off night, you got somebody down the lineup that's willing to do it. And they do that on a consistent basis. They have Pat Maroon, who is an edgy player and somebody that I'd love to see in a Predators uniform. So they have the total package. And that's why so many people view Tampa Bay as one of the best teams in the league. And they are one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
is that a solid answer for you?
I hope Rick thinks it's a solid answer for you. I mean, you basically said everything that I was going to say. They're loaded, and look, there aren't many teams that have a better goalie than UC Saros right now. Andrei Vasilevsky is on another planet this entire season. I mean, he should run away with the Vezina, even though Marc-Andre Fleury's been fantastic, even though UC Saros has been fantastic, and there are some betting apps where you cannot bet on UC Saros to win a Vezina still, and that still blows my mind.
You can bet on Toronto to beat the Ottawa Senators.
I'm not going to do that. And please do not stoke that fire. I was just getting over that, Chase.
I know.
I was just getting over that.
Okay, I'll change the subject. I'll stick with Tampa Bay for a second. Do you, if you're looking at this from Tampa's point of view, do you have any worry about Vasilevsky running out of gas, similar to what we saw a few years ago with wow, I just blanked on his name. The Winnipeg's goalie.
Hellebuck.
Remember, Hellebuck and Rene, thank you, were fighting it out for the Vezina. And then Rene pulled away from him because Hellebuck, I mean, everything, he was the guy. And it felt like down the stretch he kind of ran out of steam.
I mean, look, Tampa Bay is riding Vasilevsky. But in back-to-backs, they've also been throwing in Curtis McElhinney. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's really anything different from what Tampa Bay is doing with Vasilevsky compared to some of these other good teams with their number one goaltender. I mean, the Preds are going to ride Saros into the ground going into the playoffs if they make it. So that should be interesting. What do you feel like is the best-case scenario for this Preds team? I want to get Chase's thoughts on that. We have some responses on Twitter from what I put out there earlier today. What is the best case scenario for these Nashville Predators now that you know what the roster is going to look like going into the playoffs if they make it to the Stanley Cup playoffs here in 2021? That's all coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth, and you're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show. Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe here with you. The Nashville SC season preview show coming up at the top of the hour with Wes Bowling.
Wes.
A lot of great stuff there coming up at 7 as the Nashville SC season gets underway this Saturday against FC Cincinnati at Nissan Stadium. So get excited about that. So, Chase, I posed the question to you before the break of what do you feel like is the best case scenario for this Nashville Predators team? We have a lot of responses on Twitter, but I want to get yours first. How would you answer that question?
Well, I mean, the best case scenario, albeit a hard one, is winning a playoff series. I mean, you know, I think this team is good enough to get into the playoffs. I think the way they're playing right now, and if they play this way for the next 13 games, they will get into the playoffs. Then it's all based on the draw and how they play in that series, in that best of seven series. So you know, I know the odds have been stacked against them before, and I know what I've seen them do in those cases before, but this is a different team. So, you know, they could just use all their energy fighting to get in, and they do, and they get knocked out in four or five games. But, you know, you're asking me the best, like what I think the best case scenario is, that would be it, winning a playoff series. And then beyond that, I couldn't tell you. but you know, if they get in, which I feel like they're going to, then whoever gets them, it's going to be a very, very tough out.
So
Nashville's going to be a tough out.
Well, here's where I would agree with you on this. They play a system that can give teams fits. And we have seen teams that have been constructed like this Predators one that are riding a hot goaltender give good teams fits in the playoffs. Whether they win the series or they don't win the series, they play much more of a system and a style right now that is conducive to the playoffs than the one in the bubble ever had against Arizona. That team got pushed around way too much, dating back to the 2019 postseason against Dallas. I feel like this new mentality that I feel like is here to stay. I don't feel like the last 15 games from that standpoint is a fluke. I do feel like this, the style of play is here to stay. I just don't know whether the success on the ice is here to stay because the schedule's about to get tougher, but they're also about to get injured players back in the lineup. So who knows?
Well, and you know, I feel like I'm going to be in the minority because, you know, as we've talked about this for almost an hour, I mean, you've gotten the sense that I'm a believer. I'm buying. I'm buying in. I'm going, all right, you know what? I'll ride. And I use the analogy earlier, I'm a gambler. So I like this. There are plus odds right now with this Nashville team. That's a lot of value. I'm going, sign me up. And it could blow up. I could be completely wrong. And people like you and, you know, others that have kind of been like, you know, I don't know. And there was a time this year where it didn't look like they were going to do anything. And I said, I finally got to the point and I said, yeah, you got to retool, you got to rebuild. And they proved us wrong. They came back and looked like a team that we didn't think they could be this year. So that's what's hard to read with them because we've seen different ends of the spectrum. But I'm very, very interested to see which side is going to be right, because I don't really know if you can say there's going to be a middle. Because this thing's either going to crash and burn or they're going to make it very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, the fan base is very well split and a lot of the media is split. And I think the two of us are an example of that because we're split on what happened today and where we think this team, could very well go in the playoffs. Logan on Twitter on the question of what is the best case scenario for this Predators team now that the roster is set after the trade deadline. Logan on Twitter says this team at its absolute best is going to be out in the first round and that David Poile just added multiple years onto a rebuild because he isn't willing to admit that the window is closed.
That's a strong take.
That is a little strong take from Logan.
That is a very strong take. And like, I'm not, I hate answering questions like this by saying like, he could very well be right. But that goes back to the theme of you know what they're playing like right now, and you know what they have played like over the last few weeks. And you may determine, and I think you said this earlier, you may determine once you get into that first round that that's just simply not going to be good enough. It's going to make it exciting. It's going to get them there. But at the end of the day, it's just not going to work out. But to say that it's setting the franchise back, I'm not gonna agree with that, because a lot of the reason they're playing the way they're playing are because of the guys that are the future, you know, that they have been put in this position because they had to, because of injury. So that kind of makes me feel better about the future.
Kyle on Twitter says maybe get to the second round being this team's best case scenario. And then another Kyle on Twitter saying the best case is that all the top guys come back and they get to the Western Conference Finals, or there really isn't a Western Conference Finals. It's more or less going to be like the Final Four. Man, if they get to the Final Four with this roster and the way this team started this season, I mean, holy smokes. for me, the best case scenario for this Preds team is that they end up meeting Carolina in the first round, because Carolina's schedule down the stretch is pretty favorable to go on a run here. I would project Carolina to win the Central Division. I think the best case scenario is that you end up facing Carolina in the first round and UC Charlotte is hot and you frustrate a team that doesn't have a ton of experience winning in the playoffs. And perhaps that's the kind of matchup that you can frustrate the Hurricanes and see what happens. In a head-to-head matchup, I just don't see it against Tampa Bay. I mean, stranger things have happened to the playoffs. I think the odds would give them a 15% chance of winning against Tampa Bay, which is better than zero. I think the odds against Carolina, according to Dom, whatever his last name is with The Athletic, I think is like 30% against Carolina versus 15 or 18 or something like that against Tampa Bay.
So are you pretty much saying that Florida's out at this point of getting the top seed?
I would be surprised if Florida ended up with the number one seed.
Okay.
I would be.
And you know, something else to remember, if it is Carolina, I mean, because of this playoff format, chances are that if you do get through Carolina or Tampa Bay in the first round, you get the other one in the second round.
Correct. And the world of best case scenario is that Florida upsets the other one, and then it's Preds versus Panthers in the second round in the Central Division, which
I'd see for 500, Alex.
I mean, who before 2020, who would have ever guessed that the Nashville Predators could play the Florida Panthers in the second round of a postseason? No one. All right. So I leave you with this question. We're short on time, but I leave you with this question. Tomorrow night, the Nashville Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think this is another huge litmus test for this team to see where they are, even though they have a lot of bodies out of the lineup due to injury. Have you gotten to a point, Chase, where you think that this Preds team has surpassed the point of just being a hot team? Or do you feel like what they've done in the last 15 games is the extent of it and the success is just simply not sustainable? Where do you fall on that?
I think the success is sustainable if the guys that have been out of the lineup come in and do what they're supposed to do. And they play like Ryan Ellis did for, you know, has for these first two games. If you get those guys in there and they just feed off the energy that's there with this team right now and the confidence, and it works out for them in their individual game, then I certainly think you can sustain the success. But if that doesn't happen, or they just continue to battle a ton of injuries, eventually that's going to run out.
I want to see what happens in the next 2 weeks before I give an answer of whether or not I feel like they're here to stay. These next 2 weeks, I think, are going to determine what this team truly is. I know they've won 12 of 15, and that is a pretty big sample size within a 56-game season.
You need to just take that clip and put it on repeat, because that's been the whole season. I want to see what the next 2 weeks look like.
Well, this is true. David Poile said that in March, and that clearly dictated his response here at the trade deadline. But Tampa, Carolina, and then you have a three-game set against Chicago. I think these next 2 weeks, I mean, we're probably going to say this again in another couple weeks, but these next 2 weeks, I think we're going to see what this team truly is. I think they'll play well, but can they win? That's another question.
We'll find out together.
We will find out together. Chase McCabe, I don't think 60 minutes was enough for us to get in all the thoughts that we both have on today's trade deadline, but it was great to have you back on the program, and we'll see what happens in these next couple of weeks.
Thank you, my friend. Good to be here.
All right. For Chase McCabe, I'm Ryan Poore. Thank you for listening to Preds Insiders here this evening. Coming up next, it is the Nashville SC season preview show with Wes Bowling right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.